Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
So much for listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this beautiful Sunday morning. And those of you that are up at 7 o'clock listening to this, God bless you. And I'm so glad that you've tuned in this morning. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we are so glad to be able to share the scripture, the Word of God, with those of you who are listening this morning. And it's our prayer, of course, that more and more people would hear the Word of God, whether it's on this broadcast or any other. It's our desire that Christ be proclaimed and God's words be brought to people so that they can consider them and make a choice about them. You see, contrary to what some people think, God doesn't make us do things against our will. God comes along beside us and He wants to be in fellowship with us. But when it comes to this matter of salvation, God doesn't accept anyone who doesn't choose to want to be in fellowship with Him. God doesn't make people be saved. God saves people through His Son, Jesus Christ, who choose to be saved, who recognize their sinful state, who recognized, as the Bible says, that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so sometimes the Bible says some pretty harsh things to us. It wakes us up to the reality of wickedness and darkness and ungodliness around us, even though that's not God's intent for us. He wants us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives while we wait for Jesus to return. And if these are familiar things to you this morning, that's great. If they're not, if you're listening for the first time and you're going, "Who is this guy? And what's he talking about?" I want you to know that the Bible is full of God's word to men. It's full of history and poetry. It's full of prophecy. It's full of scientific foreknowledge. It's full of actual historical men and women, people, nations, places, geography. It's so full of so many things that it's a shame that so many people don't take the time to dive into it and to question it. You know, if anything, it makes us think about things outside of the realm of just normal existence. And yet at the same time, the Bible is very, very practical about a way to live, a way of life that is so good to live, a life that, like Jesus said, he wants people to live life to the full and to enjoy the life that God has given us with, of course, the hope that ultimately we won't die, but that we will have everlasting life. And of course, that life is only found in the author of life, Jesus Himself, who died and rose from the dead on that third day. And so I hope this morning, if you have questions about any of these things, that you would please get a hold of us. We're the Church of Las Vegas. You can find us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, and under the contact tab, there's a place where you can actually email in. You don't even have to know our email address. You just click on that button. It'll set it all up. You can write in and say, "Hey, John, I have a question about this," or "I have a question about that," or "I think you're crazy about this," or "Somebody told me this." I love to answer people's questions about the Bible. I don't have all the answers all the time, but I sure like to be able to do my best to share with people the things that they have questions about. Anyway, let's go back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and we left off in verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James, of course, the half-brother of Jesus. They had the same mother, but obviously very different fathers. James' father was Joseph himself, literally. But, of course, Jesus' father is God. Jesus was the Word that became flesh, that the power of God and the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and she became pregnant with the living Word of God. And you can read all about that in Luke chapter 1 and 2. That's not just for Christmas, of course, at the end of the year. But anyway, in James chapter 1, we have been talking about verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, we've been focusing on getting rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And I want you to know that although that's something that the scriptures direct us to do, that it's something that's done in conjunction with the word planted in you, which can save you. You see, you and I can't get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent to the degree that it needs to be taken care of without God's help. We can't do it on our own. We can't just go to the sink. You know, when you get your hands dirty, you know, maybe you've been changing the oil or working out in the garden or whatever you're doing, and your hands are just a mess. And you're thinking, man, I need some Dawn or some Gojo or some kind of thing that's going to bust through all this grease and dirt so that I can get my hands clean. You know, when you get it underneath your fingernails and you're just, man, how are they ever going to get clean? Well, we can go to the sink and use some of those different agents and get that filth off of our hands. Well, in the same way, you know, we can't just clean up our soul. We need something outside of ourselves to help us with that. And that's not anyone else. It's not any other religion. It's not any other practice or anything other than coming to the Creator of mankind, the God of heaven, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us, to cleanse us, if you were, to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be clean. And so, you know, it really comes down to when we look at our hands and we go, yuck, I want my hands clean. And then we do something about it. Well, if we want our souls clean, if we want our consciences clean, if we want our lives to be full and rich in God and in Jesus, then, you know, we need to go to him. We need to call out to him. We need to turn away from the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the gospel, the power of the gospel, the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you do that by repenting of the fact that you've ignored God, you've neglected God, you've told God to take a hike, or maybe you've never acknowledged him at all. Well, maybe this is the time to really do that, and not just some kind of raise your hand, say a prayer, do this, do that, get baptized, you know, but really seriously, have you actually truly committed your life and mind and heart to Jesus Christ? Hey, if you haven't done that, and if you haven't done it according to the scriptures, then you're missing out. You're missing out on something in life that will be the best decision that you ever made. And so I want you to know, when we're talking here in James, where he's saying, get rid of the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent. Yeah, people try to do that all the time to a greater or lesser degree, but only God can truly wash our sin away. Only God can truly forgive us for our sins. And only God can do that through the blood of Jesus Christ, through which there is no forgiveness of sins. And so that's why James says, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. It can save us because it gets us in a right fellowship with God, who then gives us his Spirit, who helps us to overcome the misdeeds of the flesh so that we can get rid of the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent. There's always going to be a struggle because we live in a body that's been corrupted by sin, and we live in a world that's been corrupted by sin, but ultimately even that's going to be taken care of by God when he finishes his plans and his purposes on this earth with humanity. And those who have accepted his word, those who have repented and turned to him in faith and have put their hope fully in his grace and responded to that grace by turning away from sin and accepting and listening and not getting angry at him anymore and living a kind of life that God shows us how to live, a life of love, a life of imitating God, a life of, yes, taking a stand against those things which harm and destroy and hurt people, but yet at the same time holding out love and faith and joy and compassion and self-control to a world that so desperately needs it. And so, again, James says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, James is writing this to God's people, people who have already done this. But this, again, isn't just a one-time thing. It's something that constantly needs to be something that we live by, that we say, hey, I don't want moral filth and evil in my life. I want to be like Christ. In fact, let me just share a scripture with you here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I like how Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, shares this verse of scripture with us. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And he goes on in verse 9 to say, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, this last Sunday, I preached a message about taking every thought captive. Okay, from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And here Paul is writing to the church at Philippi and really exhorting, encouraging them the same thing. Not to think about evil, wicked, ungodly things, not to think about how to satisfy the lusts of the flesh, but to think about things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. If anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You see, the person who truly loves God has a different mindset than the one who's just greedy and selfish and it's all about me. Who's just concerned about, you know, money and sex and power and whatever else that they think is what life is all about. And so James's words here are so practical. Get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You know, I want to listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Skillet. Kind of a funny name. You think, wow, that sounds like a pan. All right, something you fry up bacon and eggs and good things in hash brown potatoes. But a Skillet's pretty rocky sounding band, but man, this message is great. I need a hero. I need someone that can save me, and that can save me right now. And friends, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can. He's able. He's able to deliver you if you'll allow him to, if you'll seek him, if you'll pursue him, if you will find out what the gospel is all about, and then respond to that gospel in faith and repentance and to be baptized into Christ. What a new life that God can bring about for you, just as he has done for so very many others. So let's listen to Skillet this morning sing Hero.
In my faith today,
falling off the edge today.
I am just a man, not superhuman.
I'm not superhuman.
Someone save me from the haze.
It's just another war, just another family torn. Today, to live another day, speaking my mind today.
My voice will be heard today.
I've gotta make a stand, but I am just a man.
I'm not superhuman.
My voice will be heard today. It's just another war, just another family torn.
My voice will be heard today.
It's just another kill. The countdown begins to destroy us.
We're back this morning, and let's take a look at some other scriptures this morning that will show you that this idea of getting rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent in us, and humbly accepting the word planted in you, which can save you, is all through the scripture. So turn over to James chapter 4 real quick, James chapter 4, and realize that this battle's going on. He says in verse 4, or chapter 4 and verse 1, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you can't have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world or becomes an enemy, a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely, but he gives us more grace? That is why the Scripture says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." And then here he says to act, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." Okay, so he's saying, listen, guys, you know, if you're struggling with friendship with the world and you're struggling with that unspiritual wisdom that's from the devil, and that's earthly, you know, those are the things that, you know, you need to change. You need to put those off and allow God to transform you. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter, in verse 12, he's saying that the prophets themselves long to look into the things that they were writing down. And it says even angels long to look into these things. And then in verse 13, Peter tells God's people, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Okay, so he's encouraging God's people to be holy and to be like God in his character and in his righteousness. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're talking about getting rid of the moral filth that's so prevalent. And he reminds God's people again from the aspect of not to not have anything to do with them, but don't practice and come along and yoke yourself together or team up with them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And I like what a newer translation says. It says, don't team up with them. In other words, don't be close and intimate and in relationships where you depend on each other and everything else. Because he goes on to say, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial or false gods? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and of idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And then Paul quotes, and he reminds them, therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then Paul finishes this section by saying, since we have these promises, dear friends, in other words, promises that God receives us and that he will live with us and walk among us and that he will be our God and we'll be his people. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. And of course, I can't help but think about Colossians chapter 3 when I think about that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. When Paul writes to the church at Colossae and says in chapter 3, verse 5, put to death or keep dead, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. How much better it is to live God's way than just the way that seems right, the way that the world practices. You know, we want to be people that honor God, not dishonor God. And so, you know, if you're living that way, praise the Lord. Just keep right on living that way. If you've been challenged by some of these things and go, whoa, you know, I've never heard that before, look into it, seek into it. Go back and make sure that you understand what the Word of God says. Hey, we're going to listen to our last song this morning. This is by Natalie Grant, and it's called I Will Not Be Moved. And I hope that's your attitude and spirit, that you won't be moved off the things of God, but that you will do what's right, and you'll be faithful to the very end. Let's listen.
I have worked it out. I have questioned sovereignty and had my share of doubts. And though sometimes my prayers feel like they're bouncing off the sky, the hand I hold won't let me go, and is the reason why I will stumble, I will fall down, but I will not be moved. I will make mistakes, I will face heartache, but I will not be moved.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I will not
so much for listening. We're going to continue on next week in James chapter 1, but I just want to again encourage you to come and meet with the Church of Las Vegas. Hey, we meet together Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. You can come meet with us here at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. We're right in between Spring Mountain, Desert Inn. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to share with you. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better, answer your questions, do our best to point you to God and be there for you, whatever you're going through in life. And so please come and join us on Sundays or Wednesdays. You can also learn about us on our website, The Church at Las Vegas. I've already mentioned that this morning, thechurchatlasvegas.com. There you can listen to older broadcasts. You can listen to videotapes of sermons that we've already got up there. You can just find out a little bit more about us. We'd encourage you to do that. Also, next week, next Saturday, the 29th, is going to be our Fall Fiesta. Our Fall Fiesta is going to be Saturday from 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock. And so we want to encourage you to come out for that. You can find out more info online about that. Hey, until next time, keep standing on the solid rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.